And welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Siebel, and I'm so delighted to share this next hour with you. And we did have a guest scheduled. However, an emergency came up with their family, so they're not able to make it today. So we have an open mic hour. So you'll be able to call in at any time during this hour, and I'll be glad to take your calls. As I said, it's an hour of Mind Power, and I'm delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So here's the telephone number to write down if you'd like to chat with me this afternoon, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. I wanted to start off the show today with a bit of a positive thought, and it really struck a chord inside of me, so I thought I would share it with you. This is by Greg Lavoie. And he is a person that's dedicated to writing and motivating other people. He said, although intent is powerful, we still need to follow through with time spent at the grindstone. We still need to work with the back and the legs and the voice. We still need to work. I think it's very, very disturbing when we hear different people around us talking about, oh, how easy things should be, and how they feel they're entitled to this, entitled to that, entitled to the other, and yet they haven't been willing to walk the mile, so to speak. Talk is cheap. And one of the things that often I try to find out about different individuals, especially if you want to work with them as part of a team, is how much are they willing to do in the way of legwork, mind work, attitudinal work? What are they willing to contribute? What are they willing to put out there? Again, talk is cheap. And the reason I wanted to share this with you today is that I had the privilege of being a part of a young man's demonstration and competition this past weekend into getting his black belt in Taekwondo. And this young man is only 10 years old. And as I was sitting there, this is the first time I'd ever had the opportunity to observe what went on in the earning of this black belt. And I was so impressed with the standards, the man who is the teacher, the master teacher of this class, and he himself has a high degree black belt that he secured in Korea. He has to go over to Korean competition to be able to qualify under a master teacher that he has. And as I watched these young people, they were the age of 10 up to 14 that were in this competitive environment. I was really appreciative of the number of things that they had to be able to demonstrate. One, they had to be able to demonstrate good level of educational learning and having capacity and willingness to be disciplined and to get things done. Two, the teacher had required, their master teacher had required, that they fulfill a composition, and it was regarding the martial arts, and they had to write down points of information. They had to do all their own research. Also, they are taught in this class how to respect other people and to be committed and dedicated to their own self-betterment and the betterment of their community. And when I watch these young people go through their exercises, and they were quite strenuous. They were really quite different. And they just amazed me at the coordination, the discipline, and then they went through not just those exercises, but they had to break boards. They had to do single boards. They were able to choose certain exercises that they could do, and then they had to break two boards together. And I was watching all of this, and you had to pay attention. Now, during the course of this, I asked later, after everything was finished, there was something going on that I didn't understand. The people that were participating in the martial arts that were in, again, this exercise of demonstrating what they were capable of doing, I expected it to be synchronized. I mean, after all, when we see different things on television, and I watched a huge exhibition about North Koreans and how they were doing all of these various demonstrations of martial arts, and they were synchronized. I mean, it was just powerful when I watched this. And here I am in this small group of people, this small a group of students, and I'm watching them and I'm thinking, they're not synchronized. I'm going to find out about this. So afterwards, I ask one of the mothers about this, because her son was doing all of these exercises, but he was the last one each and every time to finish, and that perplexed me. Well, I learned something. It always pays to ask questions. I learned that with each student, when they are being judged for the right to have any belt level, whether it's green, red, yellow, black, it doesn't make any difference, they are assigned a judge. And when they are going through the exercises, they are to totally focus on that judge, and they are to do with total focus and concentration what they are asked to do. They are not to pay attention to anything or anybody else that's going on around them. They are not to be distracted. They must perform to their highest and their best. And that judge doesn't watch anybody else either. There's no comparisons here. You are judged on what you are capable of doing. And that just amazed me. I'm watching this, and maybe those of you listening, you have some youngsters, and maybe you're involved in the martial arts, and you're aware of these things. I was not. And I looked at that, and I thought, that is really something. Now, this young man's son is known for his excellence in the martial arts. But he is so focused, and he is so deliberate in everything that he does, that he has to have it done to a level of his standard, not anybody else's, but his standard, and his standard is pretty high. And I thought, this is outstanding. This is really, really good. So they were teaching these young people that their highest competitor is themselves. They are actually competing against themselves. And so they must always strive to be the best they can be. And then I saw some adults that were also trying to reach the black belt level. And they were as old as 60. And that isn't old in today's world, but you usually wouldn't think of someone being involved in the martial arts being in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Well, I do know for a fact there are many mature individuals that have gotten involved in the martial arts because it helps to keep them supple, it helps to keep them healthy. But let me go back to what I started with originally, that quote. You have to still do the work. You can not become a black belt without having gone through the training. And some of these young people had been in classes since they were 5 years of age. Some had had less time. In the adult class that was trying out for the black belt, they were of all ages. They ranged from 20 up to 60. The person that was the oldest one in the class was 60. So you always have to do the work. And it's the same thing in everyday life. And Lee Iacocca made a remark once where people would say to him, "Wow, Mr. Iacocca, you are such a fabulously successful man. How did you do it?" And he always has a very clear answer. He said, "I go back to what my parents told me. Apply yourself. Get all the education you can, but then, by God, do something. Don't just stand there. Make something happen." So I'd like to leave you with that thought as the beginning part of this program. Don't just exist. Don't just exist. Contribute. Do something. If you are constantly involved in the life experience of being a couch potato, you can whine till the cows come home, but I would suggest you get up off the couch and start getting yourself into action of some kind. There's so many different things we can become involved with, where you can be a participant and where you can sharpen your own skills. Whether it's as a volunteer or going to work or going to school, it doesn't make any difference. But the key is, like Iacocca said, don't just stand there. Make something happen. Make something happen in your life. Because when you're in action, life is in action anywhere around you. And it's far better to start make things happen if you want. But you're the only one that can do it. Nobody can do it for you. You have to put the effort out on one level or another. It's very important to remember that. This is Donna Sebo. This is the Hour of Mind Power. Now, today we have open lines, and you will be more than welcome to call in. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, that's all. And, of course, I like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, let me do my intuitive thing. I'll give you information, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. We did have a guest scheduled, and we are going to have to reschedule him. A family emergency came up, so he wasn't able to come and be on the air with us this afternoon. Well, you know, I was talking about doing and being in action, and maybe sometimes you just get to feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you're extremely shy, or you just think, maybe I'm going to lose my cool. I'm just not going to be able to pull things together. Well, we all go through things like this. And I can remember one time when I was in school, there was a girl that would just absolutely get the giggles whenever she'd get nervous. Does that happen to you? Well, whenever she got nervous, she would start laughing, and it would cause everybody else to laugh. We were just sitting in a classroom, and we'd just start laughing right along with her. Of course, she never got finished whatever she was supposed to do. However, that was her nervousness coming through. Well, sometimes people end up getting the giggles, believe it or not, even at a sad occasion. Sometimes it can be in a meeting, and it just happens. This is just how they respond. Well, if you find that this is coming on and it's not appropriate behavior, there is a quick way to do this. And these are some suggestions by Janet Esposito. Now, she's worked a lot with people as a counselor and interacted with them on social situations and how they can handle various expressions of discomfort. And if the giggles is one of yours, she said, suck in your breath and count down from 10. And she said, what happens is that it slows down your sympathetic nervous system, which is contributing to your having the giggles. Now, what if you have a voice that quivers? Oh, that's happened to me at different times. Sometimes I get so excited about things that when I want to go to say something, boy, if I'm not thoughtful, my voice will just come across just shaky as ever. Well, if you need to stabilize your voice, all you have to do is prep yourself a little bit, maybe walk down a hallway, stretch, maybe sing a song. What it does, it causes this adrenaline rush that you have to sort of dissipate. And they say they've discovered that that's the hormone, adrenaline, is responsible for the rapid breathing that makes it difficult to project a strong voice. So just keep that in mind. And what about those tears? Oh, yes, some people have a problem with tears just coming out, and they just don't know what it is. They say taking your mind off whatever is causing the watery eyes will stop the tears from flowing. And, of course, we gals know this. You guys don't seem to have so much of a problem with it, but we gals do, and that is blushing. Well, it's impossible, apparently, to consciously stop the blush. However, if you want to prevent it from happening, tell yourself to blush. I don't know. I haven't tried that one, so we'll see if that one would work. But if you try to force yourself to blush, then apparently it won't happen. I don't know. Again, I'd have to check that one out. And clammy palms. Oh, my goodness. If you want to keep from having that, what you do is picture a person that you love or something that makes you feel safe, and it'll calm your body's stress factor. And that I think, is very true. So really, it is something, it's an origination in the mind. It's excitement. There's all kinds of things that can trigger you to lose your cool. But just remember, this too shall pass. We all have moments like that. But I just thought I'd share those little tips that came to my attention because I thought it might help you. This is Donna Sebo, an hour of Mind Power. We're going to take a break for just a minute, so don't you go away. Call in to 877-876-5227, and I'll give you your psychic reading over the air, and all I need is your first name or initial. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We've got an open mic day today. My guest was not able to participate in the show today. We're going to be rescheduling him on another date. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Now, quickly, I do want to remind you that the Donna Sebo Show is going to be moving to 11 a.m. to noon on July, after the 1st of July. So we will be starting in with that, and that is going to be a whole new time frame, so be sure you make a note and also tell your friends about it. And tomorrow we're going to have Larry Ackerman. Unique subject, the identity code. Sound mysterious? Well, maybe it should, because Larry's going to be on with us. And then we're going to, on Wednesday, talk about truth about mediums. Now, Gary Schwartz is a researcher regarding paranormal activity, so he's going to be my guest. Then on the 15th, if you love stories, Christina Baldwin is a lady who's going to touch your heart and your mind. And she has a book called Story Catcher. If you're desiring, or I should say an aspiring writer to be, then by golly, you're going to want to hear what Christina has to say. And then one of my favorite people, Bill Goss. This man has walked the walk and lived experiences that I don't think many of us would ever dream would be possible. And his delightful book is There's a Squirrel in My Coffee. So you'll have to tune in to find out more about these wonderful people, their fabulous stories, and the gifts that they have to bring you. Yeah, Father's Day is coming up pretty soon. And for all of you guys out there, I want to say happy Father's Day. I hope you have the best ever. But I thought I would honor a gentleman that when he was 15 years old in 1957, started a personal journey that I don't know that many of us would even imagine would end up carrying him to where he has, you might say, ended up. And this is about Ptolemy Tompkins. And he was talking with a man called Albert Lexie. And he had noticed, now he was 15 years old, remember, this is in 1957, so we're in a whole different time zone. And he said Albert had noticed some of his classmates in 1957 making shoeshine boxes. And the kids were saying, wow, you can make a lot of money shining shoes. And he said, really? Well, he was like most 15-year-olds, he wanted to make a living, but he didn't have a lot of options. So he thought, maybe this would work. So he built his own shoeshine box, and he got some polish and brushes, and he found out how to really give a good shine to shoes. And so he would tote his box around his neighborhood just outside of Pittsburgh, and he did pretty good. He said tips were very good, and he was able to save a little. He said, I went everywhere. I'd go into people's offices, restaurants, a local hospital, and he said, I got to know everybody. And people just loved to chat with him. He was the shoeshine boy. Well, he was still using his shop class box that he built in 1957 and 1981. He's still using it. And he saw a report on a television show one night, and he said it was about a Christmas telethon for Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh. And he said they were raising money for their free care fund. And the kids at Children's Hospital, none of them get turned away. So they always take them. And he really liked what he was hearing about. And so he decided to do something. He decided to turn over all of his tip savings, which was $700 worth, to the fund. And he decided he was going to pledge whatever tips he made in the future to this hospital. Now, it was a bit of time that passed, and there was an administrator at this Children's Hospital. And Albert would still go in, after all of these years, was still going in and making the rounds, shining shoes, and stopped Albert and asked him if he wanted to see where his $700 donation was going. And Albert said, sure, I'd love to know what you do with the money. So he said, come on down to the Children's Hospital, which he did. And so Albert had a chance to meet some of the kids that this free fund helped. And he said, when that happened to me in 1981, he said, I decided I wanted to make a commitment to this. So he decided to include Children's Hospital in his weekly rounds. Every Tuesday and Thursday, he gets up extra early, and he takes a bus to the Children's Hospital, and he shines shoes for everyone, for everybody, from the surgeons to the orderlies. And the staff at Children's Hospital says, everybody knows Albert, and we all love him, and we all know where his tip money goes. But she said, we'd probably get our shoes shined just as often, even if we didn't. We just like him so much. Well, this past Valentine's Day, this year of 2006, marked Albert's 23rd anniversary of shining shoes at the Children's Hospital and of donating his tip money to the Free Care Fund. And they said, day by day and shine by shine, those tips have added up to an extraordinary amount. I bet you can't guess how much. Well, let me save you the guessing. It amounts to more than $100,000. $100,000. And to the staff at the hospital, he's become a hero. She said he's become a symbol about what one caring person can do if that person sets their heart and mind on it. And they recently honored him. They had a custom-designed shoeshine cart that Albert rolls from stop to stop. And the cart carries more equipment and lets Albert get around faster. And that, of course, means more shoes shined, right, and more tips for the kids. And this is what Albert says. He said, I don't get to meet all the children that are benefited by the Free Care Fund. He said, but that doesn't matter to me. I love them all. And he compares himself to Jerry Lewis. He said, I'm a smaller scale. He said, Jerry has his kids, and I have mine. Don't you just love it? Isn't it wonderful? One person can make such a difference. Stand for something. Stand for something. And Albert didn't make a big to-do about it. But for 23 years, he's raised just his tips. That's all he put in. Just his tips. Just an amazing story. So I wanted to share it for you. Honoring a man that I think has given a lot more than just shoe shines in so many ways. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. Why? Because I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, would you like to be more joyful, successful, and less stressed? I bet. I don't know of anybody that wouldn't say yes, ma'am, to that one. Well, there are people that work with feng shui, and for those of you that are not familiar with it, it's an ancient Chinese philosophy of promoting harmony through the surroundings that you're in. And I've got six tips here that were passed along to me, and you know what? Apparently, there's some research that's going on relative to these considerations of making our lives less stressful, and they're finding out that it makes a lot of difference. Now, how about attracting money? Well, running water represents prosperity and forward momentum. And the reason the Chinese restaurants have fountains is because they believe that the movement of water encourages cash and opportunities to flow your way. And also, the soothing, bubbling sound calms the mind. So why not have a little mini fountain? Yeah, you can do that. Now, what if you don't have space or place for a fountain? Let's face it, not all of us are going to have that. Well, the next best thing is a picture of a stream, waterfall, or the ocean, because it'll give you many of the same benefits. Now, the woman that has produced or provided some of this information, her name is Jamie Barrett, and she has authored a number of books on feng shui. Now, if you're wanting more love in your life, then candles are a wonderful way to create that environment. You can have a cluster of candles, and it sort of helps you to burn off stress from the day and strengthen the bond between you and your environment and the loved ones that are around you. They say the fire energy of candlelight puts everyone in a warm, cozy mood. And they say when you're looking at a flickering candle, it helps you to de-stress. It's very relaxing. Candlelight is very relaxing. Now, if you want to feel more optimistic, fruit's the key. Citrus fruits are feng shui symbols of success, so putting out a bowl of oranges or lemon in your kitchen can attract a brighter future. Also, the tangy scent and cheerful colors of citrus keep you focused by engaging your senses, and orange is a very energetic color. But also, you can use aromatic fragrances of citrus. And the Japanese have demonstrated in research that's one of the best ways to stay alert, especially in your working environment later in the day. Now, what if you want to be more successful? A daisy. And, of course, daisies come in different colors, but the typical color of a daisy is white or yellow. And the daisy is a symbol for motivation and endurance, and placing just one in a vase or jar will give you strength and help make your dreams come true. And the single, simple, fresh beauty of a single flower can bring a lot of tranquility into your surroundings, helping you to become more inspired. Balance? You want to feel more balanced? Use houseplants. Nature is very calming and creates a tranquil environment. And this is backed up by modern research. Well, you know what? They really help keep your environment toxic-free. It really is, or I should say toxin-free. They are just absolutely awesome. So having them in the kitchen, in your office, having living plants really makes a difference. And if you want to feel more grounded, more down-to-earth, then have rocks. Mm-hmm. You don't need them in your head. You need to put them someplace where you can see them. Rocks, symbols of the earth, keep us in sync with our environment, and geophysicists have even found that they exert positive energy. You can keep a bowl of stones in areas where you spend a lot of time, your bedroom or maybe in your computer, wherever you want to feel more grounded. And also, with plants, you can generate harmony and ensure smooth family interactions. Choose a species with rounded leaves like a philodendron or a pothos. Just a few suggestions there to bring happiness into your environment. Donna Sebo here, and I'd be delighted to bring happiness and insight to your environment. Give me a call, 877-876-5227. Don't go away. Oh, by the way, get out the pad of paper and pen. You may want to write down this banana bread recipe that's low in calories, but good. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a bit. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, an hour of mind power. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. And remember, all I need is your first name or initial, and then after that, you can ask a question after I give you my intuitive insights. Are you fans of eBay?
Yeah, my caller.
Okay, let's go to our first caller today. We're going to be talking about eBay between calls, too, and if you're an eBay fan, you're not going to want to miss this. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show, or first caller, rather. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Amethyst, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, hon, I could barely hear you. Can you speak up? You're calling in from San Antonio?
Uh-huh, and my name is Amethyst.
Oh, how pretty.
Oh, thank you.
What a pretty name. That's one of my favorite stones. Okay, Amethyst, when I'm watching you in my mind, the first word that comes up is education. You are an individual that has pretty big dreams. You're not afraid to work. You're not afraid to put yourself out there. You're a risk taker, a calculated risk taker is what I would say with you. If you're going to do a bungee jump, you want to make sure everything is down to the right degree here. You don't want to take any unnecessary chances. But you're really gutsy in many, many areas of your life. And you are ready to make a big investment in yourself. This is important. I like what I see. And I think that your thoughtful consideration of the options that are going to be in front of you within the next 2 months, very wise. But education is the key. I'd like for you to look to finding those people that would make good mentors for you. And I say mentors because you are going to need more than one individual that you can interact with. I'd like to see you get some business training. I also think that there's something here with memorization that's going to be very valuable to you. So you may want to take some classes on that. There's computer skills that you're going to need. Well, for heaven's sakes, all of us need computer skills. And then I'm watching you doing quite a bit of traveling. It wouldn't surprise me if you end up working overseas or having the opportunity to go overseas and then going between this country and another. There's also going to be a level of teaching that you're going to find yourself evolving into that will be specialized and will fill a developing niche in an area of the marketplace that is just beginning to come together. So your timing with your education is going to be excellent because it will allow you to step into, I would say, the footprints and footsteps of those people that have gone before you, the pioneers of a particular area of specialty, and you will be able to make it a very significant part of your life. Now, there's something that's bothering me with you, though. and that is that I am feeling an exhaustion behind the eyes. And as I am watching you, and I'm perceiving it with myself, I'm not a physician, but I am looking at you as if I want to just take my eyes out, or eyeballs out, you might say, and put in a replacement set, because they're so tired. I think you get so stressed that that's an area that shows the stress faster than any other part of your body. And you need to pay attention to that. And you may need just to do something so simple as taking a nap so your body has a chance to recuperate. But you're tired, hon. And I think this is indicating the glucose level in your body really dropping. So if you have a tendency towards low blood sugar, remember to carry munchies around and remember to get your rest. That's so important. What question would you have for me?
Well, basically, you pretty much hit it well with the education area. I have a current position in the education area, and I'm at a point right now where I wasn't really happy with the location that I was in, and I'm trying to see if that position that I did hold was the right one for me, or I'm looking for other positions in the education area. They're all in the education area. And
okay,
I'm
not hearing you real clearly. Your voice is soft. It's very soft.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, so what kind of area is this in?
Education, actually.
Education. Well,
yes.
That doesn't surprise me. What area of education?
Well, I was actually teaching chemistry in high school. And I'm at a point right now, I wasn't really happy with my other position just because of the location that I was in and the administration around me. And I'm looking to see if I should, you know, keep myself in that area. I'm also looking at positions in other areas of education, and I'm not sure which is the right way for me to go or when I will even hear from somebody letting me know, you know, yes or no or anything like that.
All right, let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, how long have you been teaching chemistry?
For the past year.
For 1 year. I think you're jumping the gun. I don't think you have enough background or experience to really bounce around at this time. Not if this is where you want to specialize. I think that you are going to need to advance your own learning relative to chemistry, but I want you to take another step. Did you ever see a program when you were growing up? I think it was called Mr. Science or Mr. Wizard.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. What's the age bracket you're teaching?
Juniors and seniors in high school.
Juniors and seniors in high school. All right. You are in one of the most positive positionings you could possibly be in. It's not going to show up right now. But for you to be involved in teaching chemistry, I want you to do something a little bit out of the box. I want you to ask the kids themselves a few questions. I want you to ask them and make them do their homework. I want you to ask them why they're interested in chemistry or why they're taking the class. And you'll get all kinds of answers all across the board. Then you need to think outside the box and make the course so interesting for them that it's going to be fascinating to you. Have you ever seen MIT's competition with problem solving that they have every year?
No, I haven't.
All right. Do some homework. Do some research on this. Now, they do this with creating problem-solving capabilities. Now, you're in chemistry, but this could be applicable in your arena in a different format. They will go and give parts, a bunch of junk, to their students. They pair them off into teams. And then what they do, they tell them, create something. And they have a competition every year. These students, now they are in college, that's true, but they have to learn how to work together as a team and put something together that is totally operational, and they compete with each other. And this is done every year. Now, the reason I'm asking you to think outside the box is because I believe, especially when it comes to areas like quantum physics and other things, you have the opportunity to actually become considered one of the best teachers in the country if you are willing to invest in yourself and invest in the company of people who have a passion for mathematics, chemistry, and physics. And it's using your creative imagination. that you're in a situation and you're not happy with the administration, et cetera, et cetera. You need to not get stuck there. You are never, ever going to find a totally cooperative environment because many times in a schooling environment, they're not that interested in chemistry. There's not that big encouragement relative to math and the various sciences. So you have an opportunity to practice and refine your presentation with your students. And this is going to be up to you. You're going to need to step out of the box. I think you're trying to move too fast. You've only been involved for a year. So give yourself a little bit more time. If you want to explore other arenas, fine. But I do some brainstorming with some other professionals in the area of interest that you have and see what kind of concepts they might be able to encourage you to present. But more than anything else, I'd talk to your students and see what you can do to encourage their interest, maybe even offering some kind of an after-school program. I've known of people that have done something like this in their own venues that they really love, and it just opens their world. But I do think you're going to be going back to school relative to certain areas of chemistry and the sciences that you've not explored. But I think you need some mentors that will just be able to be a catalyst for your imagination. Don't be afraid to be who you are. You've only been teaching a year. You've got a big, big future here that's coming out. So this is your learning curve, hon. Don't begrudge it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You have to keep in touch and let me know what happens.
Okay.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. She was talking about chemistry, and chemistry affects all aspects of our lives. I'll have to tell you, I wasn't good in chemistry. That was not my top subject. But it affects so much, and I mentioned MIT. Well, I want to share with you some information about a young woman named Dava Newman. And she is really doing something so unique. I think about this young woman that just called, and it's just serendipitous sometimes the material that I have prepared for the show and sometimes people when they call and what they ask about. This young woman is braving the frontiers of fashion, yes, and she's doing some pretty extreme stuff. In fact, I've got a photo of her in front of me. She is a rocket scientist. She's a rocket scientist. Guess what she's doing? She's designing spacesuits. Yes. Spacesuits. And her prototype is called the Biosuit, and it's designed for travel to Mars, and it was developed with an aid of a grant from the NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts. And this photo that I've got in front of me is awesome. Not only is she very slender, but this is not one of those great big bulky suits, you know, that they usually have for space travel. This suit is sleek. It has a stretchy skin-like polymer that just covers the body in a flexible shrink wrap, and it applies pressure that prevents the wearer from exploding in the vacuum of space. Absolutely awesome. See what I mean about being different out of the box?
And we have another caller.
Oh, thank you so much.
Put them on.
Yes, ask them to just wait a minute, and I'll be right with them. And, you know, these spacesuits, they will be able to cocoon an astronaut in a bubble of pressurized air, and it is just, it's wonderful. It's just absolutely awesome. So light. You know, you may not be able to run in one of these suits, but you're still going to be able to move comfortably. And you know what? It looks good on whoever wears it. Donna Sebo, we're going to go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Elaine from University Place.
All right, Elaine, and is that Washington?
Yes.
All right. Elaine, when I'm watching you, I am seeing some conversation with a person I believe this will be a friend. And I'm seeing you so concerned about this individual. You're saying, I just don't understand why you can't get an answer for you. There is something going on in their life, and they're going to need some help. And you're right. There needs to be an asking of questions. There needs to be a clarity with the situation and the concern. And there also needs to be an alertness to what has to be done and what has to be taken care of, because this person's condition is going to be not what I call run-of-the-mill. It's not like, gee, here, take two aspirin and a glass of water and call me in the morning attitude. That's not it. This is something that will demand attention on a whole new level, and I really think this is very, very important. So I want you to be aware that you've got some situations with other people that are coming into your space, and it seems like people just love to talk to you. They open up. They share things with you. Now, Elaine, I know we're going to take a break for a minute, dear. Would you stay on the line with us?
I'd be glad to.
Okay. Now, we're going to come back with Elaine from University Place in the state of Washington. So don't go away. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish with Elaine. And if you want to call me, 877-876-5227. Don't go away. Hi. We have Elaine from University Place in the state of Washington. Elaine, what's your question for me today?
Well, last time before I went to Europe, I gave you a call, and you gave me really good advice, and everything you said would happen did. And you said, get good shoes for my daughter because we'd be walking a lot, and that kind of saved the trip. And then you said we'd be in a rainstorm, have a coat or a hood with a coat or a hat, and that happened.
Oh,
and
for
so I'm going again, so I called for your wise advice this time.
Oh, I'm your friendly travel guider. Oh, I love it. That's so good. Okay, where are you going to and when?
I'm leaving today, going to the UK, to London to visit my daughter, and then we are going to the Dalmatian coast in Croatia.
Oh, isn't that going to be incredible?
An adventure.
Yes, I think that is marvelous. Be sure you keep a lot of film handy. If you've got a digital camera, make sure you got a lot of little whatever it is that you use to put in your cameras so that you can take all your pictures. One of the things that I'm looking at is that you need to be prepared for delays because you are going to find that it's out of your control, especially when you start going into Croatia. But in the UK, I really think generally just, you know, a light jacket is going to be fine, maybe a little bit of drizzle, but not much. And I really think that this is, you're going to wish you had some more time in England to do some of the things because there's going to be some special events you'll learn about that will be going on, but maybe another time. I'm looking, though, at the trip to Croatia, and it's very important you have good walking shoes because you're going to be on some very irregular surfaces, and I want to caution you, don't be in a hurry. I am seeing some of the surfaces having a slippery, I almost feel like it's a slime. And it could be like an algae growth or something maybe that's been used to wash the surfaces, whatever. But I don't want you to slip. So make sure you've got some good shoes that'll be very comfortable on your feet. And if you're going to wear tennis shoes, then make sure that you're very, very thoughtful. Don't be in a rush because I'm looking at surfaces, again, that could be very slick. So I want you to just be alert, be attentive, don't be in a hurry, and take your time, and I think you'll be fine. You're going to meet some of the neatest people. Oh, are you going to have some wild and crazy conversations? But I want to caution you about something else. You are going to find that you're going to be in environments where, pickpockets are prevalent. And I'm looking at an older woman that is sort of dowdy in appearance, and you want to make sure that you have a fanny pack, and if you've got your passport, keep it close to the body. You know, use good sense here. Use good sense, because I am looking at some pickpockets. So just make sure that when you travel that you are very thoughtful and you don't allow yourself to become a victim. You just pay attention. And other than that, I think this is just going to be a memorable trip. And by the way, these people that I'm seeing you meeting in Croatia are going to end up becoming pen pals, so to speak, via email. And you are just going to be delighted with the whole thing. Good, good, good people.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Now, how long are you going to be gone?
About 3 weeks.
Ooh, that's great. Now, when you come back from Croatia, are you just going to fly straight over from there, or are you going to go back via London?
Yeah, my daughter's living in London, so I'll stay with her a little while longer.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad, because it seems like your daughter's going to have something very special that she becomes aware of, and she's going to want you to participate in whatever it is. I don't know if it's a show or some special event that's going to go on, and that's great. You'll just have a real good time. You may want to have something like a light sweater that if you needed to put it on, something that makes you feel attractive when you're wearing it, just to give you that little bit of light layering underneath the jacket if you needed it.
Okay.
And it's just like one piece that you'd carry with you that would go with everything.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Now, you have to call us back and let us know how this trip turned out about all these wonderful people you're going to meet.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you. I love your show.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thanks so much. Don't forget now, July 1st, it's changing to 11 a.m. This is Donna Sebo, and we're not going to have time for any more callers. I do want to remind you, tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Larry Ackerman about the identity code. It's always so much fun to have the opportunity to review the materials that I do, because it goes everywhere from nutrition to how to do things on eBay. And, oh, yes, I told you that I had some information about eBay. Well, let me save that for tomorrow, because these are some suggestions about alternates to eBay. So we'll want to talk about that tomorrow. And I know we're just about out of time, but let me just share this with you. There are four questions that you can ask yourself that can save you a lot of money. And Nancy Twigg is the woman that put these questions together. One, she said, do you need it? Just asking yourself this question can make you realize you don't need the item. And you might own something similarly to what you're thinking, or another item would work in its place. You don't need to have something really super-duper fancy. Do you need it now? Maybe you can wait a while. Put it off for a while. And take the must-have test. Challenge yourself to see how long you can do without it. And then check the season. You know, you may not need it right now. Maybe you could buy it in the off-season when it's going to be on sale and maybe be at 50% off. Also, question three, do you need to own it? You might be able to borrow something. You don't have to own it. Instead of buying an RV, why don't you lease it? So that when you go on your vacation, somebody else is taking care of the repairs and all of that, and all you have to do is put the gas in it. Also, am I getting the best price? Am I getting the best price? And it's not necessarily, according to Ms. Twigg, a great deal just because you see the word walk away. If you haven't compared prices, she has a website that she recommends, frugal.com, F-R-O-O-G-L-E.com, or maybe even buy it used. Well, here we are out of time. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Make a difference. Whether you're shining shoes or you're selling Cadillacs, it doesn't make any difference. Know that you are important. And somewhere, someplace, you're affecting somebody's life in a very special way. Make it a good one. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be coming back tomorrow. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.